This is a principle. He says, you know, like we would say, you get out of it what you put into it. And that's why I'm always interested when someone says, like, well, I went to the church, but I didn't get anything out of it. I would always ask the question, what did you put into it? Because the last time I went to the bank and asked them for more money than I put in the bank account, it didn't work. And, you know, the last time I went to church and I went with a bad attitude and didn't lift my hands because nobody's going to manipulate me into worshiping. I just worship when I go in nature with God. I like deer. It didn't work. So he says, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give. Each man should give. Each man should give. Each man should give. I'm stuck on that part because I think some people make excuses. But each man should give. Watch this. What he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And see, I get that. Right. Right. Because God has no needs. The definition of God suggests that he is self-sufficient. And by extension, we are not. And yet, have you ever had somebody do something for you that was nice, but the way that they did it made you wish that they didn't do it? Holly told me that one time early in our marriage. Two things happened early in our marriage. I got fat. I gained 50 pounds. Without exercise. I did all that by diet alone. I gained 50 pounds off of fried rice. Fettuccine Alfredo. And I had a realization. You know what I did? I was walking by the mirror with my shirt off. And I had a revelation moment. I jumped up. And everything was still shaking like 30 seconds later. And I realized if I don't get some disciplines, I can get fat being married to this woman. You know, you can get fat coming to a church like Elevation. You can get fat because these singers are so good and these musicians are so good and the people. Oh, did you see the greeters when you walked in? How happy they look. And they've been here since 6 o'clock. Did you see how happy they were to see you? Were they happy? I'm just checking. I went through a different door. But see, when I was growing up in church, right, the church I grew up in was small, and then the church that I learned to do ministry in was small. It would only have 100 people in it. And what that meant was that if you missed church, when Pastor Mickey used to go up and he'd be turning to a scripture, he'd turn to the scripture. But while he was turning, he had this little notepad, a little memo book, and he'd be writing something down in the pad. And I thought for the longest time that he was writing scriptures that God was giving him, that God was speaking to him when he took the pulpit. And one day I asked him, he's like, no, that's my seating chart. Because on the way home, if you miss church at Santee Circle Baptist Mission, you would get a call from Pastor Mickey White's bag phone. Zach Morris would call you on the way home from church talking about, I missed you today, big boy. You weren't there on the third row, second seat in like you always are. Now I'm going to see you back next week. I don't care if you were throwing up. Wear a surgical mask and come to church. He had no time for it. We need you here. But in a church like this, you can begin to feel like you are not needed and you are not known. And in one sense, you are right. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. If I drop this mic, God will put a gift to preach in somebody else and they'll pick it up and preach it better. That sets me free, by the way. Because then I can understand that God loves a cheerful giver. And one day Holly cooked for me. You know, I'm 50 pounds heavier than when she married me. And I was over there washing the dishes. And I was so proud I was washing the dishes. And I started whistling, you know, to get her attention. So she could see I was washing the dishes. And after about three little statements that I made about, I don't mind washing the dishes. Something I enjoy doing to serve my wife as Christ loved the church. You know, making a big deal of it. She said, I would rather you not do it if I have to hear this much about it. You ever ask somebody, they did something for you, but they made it look so hard while they were doing it. You know, God, I thought about calling this message, God doesn't want it. If we come to God with an attitude like, wow, God is so lucky to have us. If we think that bringing our presence into the presence of God is a favor to him, we probably read the book backwards. See, it is not my presence that is honored. It is God's presence that is invaluable. And I know we live in a time, you know, where we worship celebrities. We don't worship the creator. We worship the gifts that he gave people that he created. And that's messed up because, see, God was God before a celebrity shouted him out. God was God. God doesn't need a celebrity to make him cool for him to be God. God sits on a throne. God fills heaven and earth. God is the Ancient of Days. God is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. God is the great I am. God is the breath of life. God is El Shaddai. God is Elohim. He doesn't need anything. And if he needs it, he'll speak it because his word is power. Somebody shout if you know you serve a God who is able to supply your needs. So Paul says, I want to give you the privilege to give to something bigger than you. And remember this, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. And verse 8 is something that I want you to internalize and really let it become a reflection in your heart. Do you believe what verse 8 says, and God is able? All right, take that much. Now add this. To make all grace abound to you. Please forgive me for truncating this. I could spend all 5 weeks on that part of that verse and still not do it justice. Because like everything about that verse is a challenge for me to believe. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. A lot of times I believe that God's grace is available to others, but do you believe that God is able to make all grace abound to you? And he goes further. He says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, and it's about to get good because Paul is about to let us in on a principle that explains why some of us are struggling with discouragement. And even though we pray about it, we don't seem to receive what we need from the Lord. Okay? So let's slow down and read this. Now, he who supplies what? Talk to me. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What that verse means is not that God will just give you a harvest because you asked for it. What the verse says is that God supplies seed to the sower. And the question is not, is God able? The question is, are you a sower? Or have you allowed yourself to be lulled into a complacent, consumeristic Christianity that bears more resemblance to a kid making their Christmas list than a Christian who is serving Jesus Christ? Y'all like this message? I'm honestly shocked. I'm honestly shocked because a lot of people do get stuck at the level of what I need. You know, we get stuck. One lady last night I was preaching and she said, we get stuck in me mode. And it's just, you know, God bless me, help me, encourage me. And so while you're praying about those needs, they're not selfish. It's fine for you to bring those things before God. But the way he will respond to your need is to give you a seed. And that's confusing to us because we want God to give us a harvest. But God does not respond to our needs with a harvest. He responds to our need with a seed. So I have found it to be true, I wonder about you, that when I find myself in need, the best thing for me to do is to get out of me mode and to get into so mode. S-O-W, so mode. I know this is not an agricultural society, but if it were, we could see that seeding or sowing is a form of investment, and it is a process. How many times have I been discouraged and weary in my own soul, only to find that when I took 5 minutes to be a blessing to someone else, when I sowed what God gave me, it became what I needed. This is difficult because when you are in a season of need in your own life, the last thing you want to do is to sow into something else. Am I right about it? When you are out of energy, the last thing that you want to think about is anything other than you. But the only way for you to receive what you need is to give what you have. Can I prove it from Jesus? Give and it will be given to you. That's not a financial scripture. That's a scripture about anything. If you give what you have, God will give to you what was already inside of you, waiting to be sown in something that is bigger than you. And God help me for all the times that I got stuck in me mode. Bless me. Me, 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 me. What about do, re, fa, sol, la, ti, do? No, just me, 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 me. None of the other ones. Do, re, mi, fa, so. Do, re, mi, fa, so. Do, re, mi. Do play the scale. Can you play the scale real quick? Do, re, mi. Do, re, mi, fa, so. Okay, do it again. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. Again. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. Again. Do, re, mi, 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 fa, so, mi, so, mi, so, mi, so. God said, I'm switching you from mi, so, mi, so, because you have been so, so good to me. So, me, so, you saved me, so, you filled me, so, you blessed me, so, you gave me life, so, come on, I'm coming out of Mimo, you made a way, so.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.